NASA.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
And welcome to the show, Remark, here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Today is July 27th. It is a beautiful, hot, hot Sunday. And we are happy to have you on board today for the show, Remark, with Garth Roseboro. Garth is not going to be in studio today, but I'm sure he is listening. And so we want to give a big shout out to the host of the show, Garth Roseboro. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleaver. I am the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. And I'm joined today with my esteemed guest, Brother Paul. Paul, what's your last name again?
Miller.
Paul Miller. And, you know, today we want to have a conversation that I think is going to benefit everybody who does take the time to listen today. These conversations on Remark are designed to ultimately create conversation that we pray creates the condition or the environment for our nation to become a better place. Today we want to start the conversation and ultimately have a conversation about pastorship. You know, this idea of being a pastor and how pastors are viewed in the community and the responsibility of pastors. We know that there are many great pastors out there who are doing great work. And we know that there are many pastors out there who are not doing the best that they could do. And at the end of the day, I think there's room for improvement for all of us. Of course, within this conversation, we know that there'll be other things that come up, but generally speaking, that's where we're going to take the show today. When the phone lines do open today, you will be able to join us at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, of course, in the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Guardian Radio powered by BTC is 422-4796, 422-4796, of course. Standard tax rates do apply. We are streaming live on GuardianTalkRadio.com. And, of course, you can also listen to us at Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or BTC Flow Channel 612. All right. So, Brother Paul, how are you today, my brother?
I'm doing fine, brother, by the grace of God.
Amen, amen. For those who may not know who you are, just give a little brief insight as to who you are. And some of the work that you are doing in the community. I think I've heard people call you a pastor, but I don't think you call yourself a pastor. Explain all of that for the listeners.
Well, actually, I'm not by profession.
Okay.
And I said, the Lord played crazy and put me a pastor. My dad always wanted me to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And as I began to study the scriptures, particularly the prophecies of the scriptures, I said, okay, I see now why my daddy wanted me to be a minister of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And a few events happened. I kicked out of the church because of my straight talk.
Wow.
And after they kicked me out, they said, I hear you. Humble yourself and retract some of your stuff, like Martin Luther, the religious reformer.
Yeah.
I said, no, I can't recant. So I said, I'm going to start a little ministry of, I think the Lord has commissioned me in.
Yeah.
And that resulted brought us to what we are doing right now in Some Haven, South Beach on Sealing Avenue.
Okay.
That we meet every Saturday. We have three different programs. We meet in the morning from 9 to 10, just for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And from 10 to 11, deal with health issues. And then from 11 to 1 for everybody. And all of our programs are interactive.
Mm. And when you say interactive, explain what you mean by that.
It's a teaching session, and you could always raise your hand up and ask a question.
You allow questions in your fellowships.
Yes, I do.
Wow.
So we could all learn together. You know, I had a gentleman challenge me one time on the proper way of eating.
Yeah.
And he took me, he rebuked me in front of everybody.
Wow.
And I said, brother, if you keep eating like that, it ain't going to be long for you.
Right.
David, a Chinese name. He said, what's that? That's called Dai Young.
They be crying the other day.
And sure enough, within the year, he was dead for a massive heart attack.
Unfortunately, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It just blew me away. I was like, that's the same brother.
Wow.
So I sent it to a dear friend of his. Said, yeah. I'm saying, he died from a heart attack.
Wow. Wow. So,
yeah.
So your ministry is focused on really helping people in real time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's for the whole man. You know, that was Christ's biggest ministry. The first thing he did was, he ministered to the needs of people first, and then he bid them to follow him.
Mm.
If you search the scriptures, as a result of that, because he received everybody, they dubbed him all sorts of names.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he hanged out with, quote-unquote, sinners, they say, not realizing they who said it was also sinners.
Right.
Which was saved by grace, you know? So,
yeah.
It's fun. It's burdensome. There's a lot of work. And sometimes I say, Jesus, why are you putting there? Don't get weary and well-doing. Sometimes it gets very, very wearisome, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's good.
And your faith, you are Seventh-day Adventist, is that correct?
Yes, I follow the teachings of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm not commissioned by them, nor called by them, neither do I speak for them. I speak for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I follow some of the old traditions of the church
that is
now fallen by the wayside by leaps and bounds, you know, and like wedding rings and... The name one, there was a time, in fact, when my mom got baptized in the church, she had to remove her wedding ring. I could still see it, not she has to draw now.
Wow.
But today, you know, if you want to wear your wedding ring, then so be it.
Right.
Yeah, and things like that. The wedding ring is right to the forefront of my mind. But the church, I encourage anyone to study it through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The good news of the gospel is Christ meets you where you are.
Mm.
And he'll save you where you are.
Yeah.
You're on a journey.
Yeah.
So he brings you into the saving knowledge of the truth, and then he gives you power to walk in that truth. And once you don't resist, one day we'll all stand in his presence.
Yeah. And so that's Brother Paul Miller, who explained his ministry very, very eloquently. I also want to share about my ministry. And I like you, Brother Paul, I didn't want to be a pastor. You know, I grew up watching some good pastors. You know, I had some good pastors growing up. I grew up in St. Andrew's Kirk. So Reverend Bowand at the time, for those who are familiar with St. Andrew's Kirk, he would have been one of the more influential pastors in my life at the time, or priests in my life, or elders in my life at the time. As I was growing up, his wife was the choir director. My grandmother, Murillinius, she played the piano for the choir. I was in the children's choir. And I was confirmed at the age of 14 in that church. And as time progressed, you know, I had questions. There were things that was in. When you stood up and said whatever you said in the church, it was because the Most High laid something on your heart. Ironically, before all of that, at the age of 10, my mother had a good friend of hers over to her house in Freeport. My mother lives in Grand Bahama. And this lady, I didn't know what it was at the time, but I know now that she was prophesying over my life. She pointed at me and she said, "You're going to be a pastor one day," right? She was saying a lot of different things, but I remember that one thing. She said it. I was like, "Woman, you crazy," right? I ain't no way I can be no pastor. I won't be a medical doctor. I ain't trying to be in no church, right? Fast forward, however many years, and I'd go right back to that woman and tell her she was right. I am a pastor, right? The Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, we are a teaching church. So we, like you, Brother Paul, and our fellowships, which one of our fellowships just finished as the show was starting, we encourage questions. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." So the idea that I know I was instilled with this idea of don't question God. When in truth, I'm not questioning God if I'm questioning the pastor. The pastor is not the Most High. The pastor is a servant of the Most High. Mm-hmm. And if the pastor is supposed to be there to help to clarify what Scripture is saying, then you should be able to be questioned as a pastor.
Definitely.
You see? Go ahead.
Yeah, in fact, the Bible says we are servants of the Most High God.
Yes.
And the servant is not greater than his Lord.
Exactly.
And many times when they question Jesus, they got caught in the position of tongue tie.
Yeah.
Because when they ask him a question, he just flipped the question and asked them.
Right.
And they knew if they had answered, they would hang themselves.
Mm.
So many times they refused to answer.
Yeah.
First Peter backs that up, that we should always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us why we believe what we believe.
Right.
Here again, ministers of the gospel set themselves up superior to the members.
Mm.
They up to the top and the members are to the bottom.
Yeah.
And the influential people are somewhere in between. No. All of us on one level playing the side of God. Now, our positions come with a lot of responsibilities.
Right.
But when it comes to the work and calling of God, God wants all of us being the same level playing, working together as one big family and not lording over his heritage.
Yeah.
And either you do this or else. No, God does not work like that. Even God said, "If you love me," he didn't say, "You better, I'm going to slam you with a hammer." No, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments."
Right.
And keeping those commandments is a benefit for you and for I and for the whole world.
Yeah.
But here again, men don't want to keep the commandments, but yet they want the benefits of those of us who ask for power to keep the commandments.
Right, right. As pastors, as community leaders, but more so pastors, right? Within Scripture, I want to share a couple of verses, and then we can really dive into the realities behind these verses, right? In the book of Jude is only one chapter, right? Right before the book of Revelations, it talks about in verse 4, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this verse for me is tied intricately to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where it talks about something that I don't think many people either know is in Scripture or they definitely don't pay attention to it when it talks about these false apostles, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, starting at verse 13, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So not everybody who calling themselves an apostle of Christ. Not everyone who's calling themselves a pastor. And again, today's show is not about me pointing at anyone and saying you're a pastor and you're not a pastor. I'm saying to all of us as pastors, all of us as shepherds, let's all begin to check for where we can improve ourselves, right? This is important. It says, verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now, this is important because when the Messiah, and I can let you chime in right now, Brother Paul, right? In the book of Matthew, if we go to Matthew 23, the Bible has some very stern words to the religious leaders of his day and time. The religious leaders in the day and time of the Messiah were not necessarily in tune with his teachings. And I have to say this because in Matthew 24, it says, the coming of the Son of Man shall be like unto the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. And in the days of Noah, the imaginations of the people and in their hearts was wickedness continually, right? But in Matthew 23, then spake Yahshua, who they referred to as Jesus, to his multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. They pretend to be following the law. They pretend to be what you call they're in the moral high ground, right? All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. Anything they tell you do, you can listen. That observe and do. But do not ye after their works. They can tell you to do the right things, but don't watch what they're doing. They ain't living it. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. We preaching one thing, we living the next thing. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. This is actually within the Jewish faith. They have a little box that they wrap around their arm when they pray and enlarge the borders of their garments, right? And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogues. When you go to these government events, some of these same people who may not be living what they are teaching or are teaching, and this is something we can get into today, there's more than one doctrine in this scripture. There's more than one doctrine in this Bible that we have to address, because many of the pastors today are holding on to a Greco-Roman interpretation of scripture. But the Messiah goes on to say in Matthew 23:6, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. That's how we started the show today. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be servants, yes, of our communities, of those who within the congregation. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes. This is a warning. And Pharisees, you hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. You want to convert one person, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Mm-hmm. How could that be? How could we claim to be serving the Most High, claim to be out here trying to make this country a better place, claim to be following scripture? But the Messiah was saying, these are some of the people that you are following, because we have pastors today who are following these same Pharisees and Sadducees and these scribes, and they making people twofold more the child of hell than them.
I agree.
You see?
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And sadly, many times over, the lay preacher who is under the pastor carries on the same attitude of the leading bishop, or the so-called leading bishop. You know, everyone following each other. They're comparing each other to each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I often ask pastors who find themselves in this position where they're living higher than the hog, for lack of better terminology, is many times over what you're promoting and what you're generating and putting forward, young members can never reach that.
Mm.
So you tell them enough enticing things, enough enticing words that they hoping one day it'll mm-hmm. happen for them.
Mm-hmm.
But how could it happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was thinking about the program today, I think about the days of the apostles.
Yeah.
Where when the apostles were trustworthy, the Bible says, the people who realized that these men were of God and not of themselves sold their possessions, laid the money at the apostle's feet. When the distribution service was over, no one had a need.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure, can that happen, you think, before Jesus comes one time again?
Why?
You think that could happen? In 2025, maybe in 2026, all of us come together as ministers of the gospel and lean of each other and work together and go to members of the kill. We have changed our agenda.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost has worked upon our heart. Let us know this lifestyle we live in is not... Check this out. When Jesus came out of his way, the Bible said, when man wanted to follow him, right? He said, you sure you want to follow me? Man, the foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the son of man have nowhere to lay his head.
Right.
You sure you want to rock and roll with me? You know what I mean? The dead man, not to make matters worse, but even when he stopped by this way, Barmah was full. And Nanus was full.
Yes.
Holiday Inn was full.
Yes.
I need to go in the stable by the horse to be born. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes.
And then if the husband can't pay for him to go to the top notch hospital, they have no baby.
My Lord, he is holding in.
But look at where Jesus was born.
My Lord.
In a stable.
Mm-hmm.
So this text says we need to humble ourselves.
Yeah.
Especially if we call ourselves Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not a Christian, that's a whole different ballgame.
Mm.
But if you're a Christian, God is saying, humble yourself.
Yeah.
Don't try to esteem others better than yourself, because I tell you, you must esteem others higher than yourself.
Yeah.
You must be last, and they must be first.
Mm.
But here again, this can only happen if you walk in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The natural thing is, I first, man.
Mm-hmm.
You get in the
me, promise. Myself, and I.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that's not the gospel. As a result, a lot of people are looking and say, if that's what Christianity is all about, man, I want to do that.
But see, and so, okay, I'm glad you said that. That's a beautiful segue into to another aspect of this conversation. I remember one time I was, I can't remember where I was. I was purchasing something, and these two young ladies were behind the counter. And somehow we got into a conversation, and they asked me, what it is that I do. And I told them I'm a pastor. And they burst out laughing. they burst out laughing like I tell the best joke ever.
Wow.
And I say, I look at them and I say, wow. I wasn't mad at them, you know.
Okay.
I understood why they laugh. Because in their mind, in their sight, man, y'all joking as pastors in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all ain't serious.
Yep.
You understand? And we getting grouped in, right, with pastors who are not heeding this warning. See, the warnings, I take the warnings too. I don't sit back and say, I'm me. I say, is that me? Let me check myself first. Before I look at anyone else, let me check myself first. Right? The book of Jeremiah makes a distinction between pastors and shepherds. Right? Jeremiah 23, starting at verse 1, it says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. That happens in different ways. I am very, as a pastor of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah, we look at scripture with African eyes. I'm not saying that everyone understands what that means, but I pray that as I continue to share what that means, people gain an appreciation for it. What I mean by that is, when you hold your Bible, whichever version of it you're holding, appreciate that you're holding a version of Scripture. They are original books of the Bible. Okay? When, as pastors, we don't study to show ourselves approved, when we just toe the line to be a part of a congregation and be a part of a hierarchy within a church without actually questioning Scripture and actually questioning what is being taught, we become these pastors who scatter the sheep of the pasture. Because you see, people in Psalm 23, we're supposed to be, as pastors, we're supposed to be leading the congregation to greener pastures.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to be leading them into a lot of the craziness that we see going on in churches today and in our communities today, right? Jeremiah 23, verse 2 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. We know this as the three groups of 12 royal tribes. I don't know what y'all say or what you say in your ministry, but we recognize that as the three groups of 12 royal tribes of Ishmael, Israel, and Midiani, right? Mm-hmm. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them. They shall be fruitful and increase. When we start in our ministry, we hold up, we understand that culture is important. We understand that family is important. We understand that race is important. because these are things that were given to us by the Most High. It doesn't mean that I should hold my race over anybody else's race or say that I am better than you because of my race, even though we have come out of a system of Christianity given to us by the Greeks and the Romans that told us that we were cursed because we were black, that we were cursed, that our hair was the texture it is, that our lips was the size that it is, that our nose is the size that it is, that our skin color is the color that it is, because we were cursed. This is what they say coming out of the story of Noah, right? In Jeremiah 23, verse 4, it says, "And I will set up shepherds over them." So there's a distinction being made between pastors and shepherds. You understand? Mm-hmm. And this is important, and I see we have a phone call. We're going to go to the call in just a second, right? "I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them." Are we feeding our congregations?
They're feeding them, but what are they feeding them?
What are they? Go ahead, talk about that.
In verse 2,
yes,
it's a very important point.
Go ahead.
They have not visited the people.
They have not visited
How
the people.
How many ministers take the time to visit people?
Yes.
And that's one of the points I made earlier, not get weary in well-doing.
Yes.
Just the day, a brother called me from the hospital. He met me through the radio.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I promised him, I went. In fact, I was on my way going someplace else. I said, "You know something, brother? If I don't come see you now, most likely I ain't going to see you until you check with this hospital."
Wow.
So I stopped what I was doing and went to the hospital to see him.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And I said, I can come back and I can see you. And I reached yet. No, not because I don't want to go.
No, but
that's how much work it is.
Exactly.
In visiting people. And people don't, ministers don't understand that personal touch is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ministers of the gospel, some of their members want their telephone number. Why are you going to give it your cell phone number?
Yes.
357-8244. Yes. This will touch you.
My phone number is right on the sign where my church used to be in Bayonne on Meadow Street, 426-1148. My sign up.
Yes.
The phone number right on the sign. You could call me.
Most ministers, some members don't have their home number, just their cell phone number.
Exactly.
No, you are a medical missionary.
Yes.
You are a medical.
You on call.
You're supposed to be tangible.
Yes.
You're supposed to be able to touch you. You know what I mean? And if they can't touch you, it'd be like, "Wow, you mean you could call your pastor?" And in fact, one time, one lady steps in, questioned the pastor. I said, what you mean, man? "No, you must be questioning me." I said, "What you mean, man?"
Yes.
I said, "We all in this journey together."
Yes.
The visitor, the member, we bouncing off each other.
Yes.
We leaning off each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean? She said, "But that's new to me. I never heard that all my life. You could question the pastor."
And it's because of this right here we'll be reading. We got a phone call here. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259, and of course in the Family of Islands, 242-357-20. Caller, you are on the show. Remark, how can we help you today?
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Anku, and I think Pastor Paul. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Yes, indeed, my brother. How are you doing, man?
Doing well, doing well. Anku, he said something about where we got this Christianity from the Greeks, and et cetera, right?
Go ahead, yes, sir.
But I want to, you gentlemen are the perfect ones to answer this, because I was thinking the other day, and I was reading the Bible, and I looked through it. And well, first of all, would we agree that Anku, a savior is necessary to redeem the people whenever whenever they get lost, like by a captivity or when they lose themselves from slavery?
Definitely.
Yeah. So, and the Bible also says that God comes to bring people things to individuals' remembrance, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was reading the Bible, and I noticed a phenomenon, whereas throughout the Old Testament, when I read the Old Testament, I noticed that the theme of the Old Testament was captivity, slavery, redemption, disobedience, because the people refused and God allowed them to be taken captive. But whenever they were taken captive, that's when they needed a Savior. And that's why Jesus was said, people thought that he would have come and saved them from the Romans, like how Moses saved the people from the Egyptians,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it and I said that, how is it that, throughout the Bible I see this theme of oppressor and oppressed and redemption, right? And like, you know, never an invisible devil or sin was the real complaint throughout the Old Testament, right? But then we get into this era, and I noticed that in our time, we're dealing with sin, an invisible devil, and we're focusing on a Savior who more or less came from a time when the people was in captivity with the Romans. You know, whereas, you know, if we go by the by the protocols and the pattern in the Bible. We're supposed to be looking for a Savior to come and save us from some oppressor. Do you understand? And see, and the reason why I bring it to you, especially Brother Paul, because I think Brother Uncle Eddie has a general idea of what I'm talking about. He mm-hmm. is in disagreement. But I want Brother Paul to consider this. How is it, because Miles Monroe, you know, rest in peace, I respect that man, even though he and I didn't have the same beliefs, I respect that man was a great man.
Yes.
But Miles Monroe himself said that slavery is the worst thing that can happen to a people. Mm-hmm. Miles Monroe said this, and he went on to explain why slavery is so devastating to a people, right? Mm-hmm. So I thought about it, and I say, man, listen, you know, in Egypt, the Egyptian story, the people were in captivity for 400 plus years or whatever the case may be, just like how we as black people were in captivity for 400 years too, right, Brother Paul? So here it is now, and I asked Brother Miles Monroe one time ago, when did we go through the wilderness? Because we experienced slavery, like the people in Egypt, so when did we go into the wilderness to cast off the ways of our oppressor, like how Moses tried to get the older generation to cast off, to take on the ways of their forefathers before they went into captivity. And Miles Monroe said, you're right, call us right, we haven't gone into the wilderness, et cetera, et cetera. So you see, but in particular, but Paul, I'm trying to figure out, why is it that even though the Bible clearly shows us a tradition and a pattern of slavery and oppression, et cetera, like, why is it that in our time, when we, as African people, have experienced the greatest form of slavery, that pastors don't talk about it, that pastors don't talk about the effect that it has on us, right? And how is it that we now see this invisible devil and sin as our problem when we should be looking at who our oppressor was, who our colonial master was? Who our slave master was? What did we learn from them? Did we learn our slave master, God? Because, see, if we have not gone in the wilderness yet, Brother Paul, that means that we share everything that we learned from our oppressor. And we are still in Egypt, per se, right? And that means that the doctrine that is being taught about sin and invisible devil is useless. And that is why it is getting the people nowhere, because it is something that we cannot really relate to. But if you said, look, hey, you know something? Our prime minister still swearing to the Queen of England, you know. You know, we speak English because of England, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. And then we could go into a deeper possibility as, do we serve the same God as our oppressor? That would be like Pharaoh and Moses going to church together.
Give him a chance to respond, Brother Glenn.
You know, first of all, Carla, I don't see myself being in slavery in anything. The only thing I'm in slavery to is sin. And the only way I can get the victory over sin is through Jesus Christ. In fact, Christ tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that are needed shall be added unto us. Notwithstanding, I don't have a prime minister. I'm not a citizen of the Bahamas. I'm a citizenship of heaven. I don't even take part of political schemes and stuff. I vote for Jesus Christ. The Bible says my citizenship is in heaven. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, I want you to study it again if you never studied before. 1 Samuel 8, it tells us that when our foreparents cried out for a king, it broke the heart of Samuel. And God said, Samuel, come on down, Samuel. They have not rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me from being king over them. But I'm going to give them that king, you know, Samuel. Here's the list of things that king is going to do to them. And when you read that through, one of the most powerful points in that text of scripture in 1 Samuel 8 is verse 18. And Christ says, when this king do you all in, like I told Samuel to tell you all, when y'all cry to me on the day of the king you have chosen you, I will not hear you. We must remember our citizenship is in heaven. God looks after his children. In fact, the psalmist David said, he was once young. He grew old. He had never seen the righteous forsaken his seed, begging bread. What is righteousness? All God's commandments are righteousness. So the only thing we're enslaving, for my estimate of certain scriptures, is sin. And we can get the victory of sin only through Jesus Christ.
Now let me go ahead, Brother Glenn, and I'll respond to that.
Oh, sorry, but I mean, I didn't mean to cut you, Brother.
Go ahead.
But Paul, I mean, see, you're talking about this sin, right? But see, my point was that when we read the Old Testament, there's no mention of sin like on the level that we discuss it today. What I'm trying to say, sin was not the problem. The problem back then was that God's people were taken into captivity by an oppressor, and they were transformed. And they ended up serving the God of their oppressor. That's why the stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego exist, because they refused to bow down. Daniel and the lions, then Midian and Gideon, all of these things, but Pastor Paul, to show us how we should respond to captivity. What I'm saying, Brother Paul, is that as a person who living in these modern times, who has experienced the worst form of slavery, who has seen what they've done and continues to do to my people today, right? I'm trying to figure out why is it that we don't talk about it in the church.
I don't want to cut you off, but I'm trying to figure out, what are you enslaved to? Because I'm not enslaved to anything.
What am I enslaved to?
Yeah, because see, I don't need for nothing but a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Nothing. Okay, everything I need, I have. Not what I want.
Okay, but
and what I have is not for me. It's for people who like me and brothers and sisters. See, I don't discriminate when it comes to the religious denomination. If you cry for help and your help is genuine, I can help you. I'm going to help you. Why? Because I'm commissioned by God to do that.
I don't want to take up one more time.
Go ahead.
But you say you have what you need, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let me. I'm going to leave you this question. So, looking around this country that we living in, right, with all these churches around here, all these ministers, pastors, deacons, bishops, et cetera, evangelists, and all these different things around here, right? All these churches around here. Do you think the people have what they need?
No.
Because when I look at society, I see a society that is in a consistent falling down a hill without no kind of help. And I see churches getting built every day. So do you feel as if even though you as a pastor may have what you need, do you think what you are preaching is what the people need?
Yes.
I said
earlier that the apostles left a good example for us to follow. That when they know that when the people realized they were trustworthy, the Bible says the people sold their possessions they had no need of. They laid their money at the apostles' feet, and no one had a need. And now, I'm trying to figure, can that happen in 2025?
Let me tell you what the problem, I think it can happen, Brother Paul, but it can't happen until we address some very pertinent realities in our midst, right? The caller just now asked a very good question in my estimate, right? You asked him a good question as well in terms of, well, what are you enslaved to? Here's my response to kind of both of your questions, right? In 1838, in this country, we gained what is referred to as emancipation. I say what is referred to as emancipation because we were still a colony of Britain, and we weren't the Bahamas yet that we are today, right? When the slave master reportedly or supposedly gave us our freedom or emancipation, the slave master left in place his churches, the Anglican Church. He left in place his British school system. He left in place his parliament. He left in place the government workers, because in Dr. Chris Curry, he has a book, it's escaping me right now. I'll remember it before the end of the show. But in this book that I just recently read a few months ago, right, the pastors, before we became a independent nation, they were actually civil servants. They were actually being paid by the government, right? I think we as a people are enslaved to misinformation. I think we are enslaved to a doctrine of the slave master that has never truly served us as a people. When we talk about Christianity today, we're not talking about the Nazarite way that the Messiah lived. We are talking about what the Greeks and the Romans ultimately put forward and made us follow. And anything that went against what the Greeks and the Romans put forward was deemed pagan. And anything today, if you go right now to the book of First John chapter 4, right? You ask a beautiful question, Elder Paul. You ask, you know, can in 2025, can we as pastors, can we as churches, can we as people come together, put our access or whatever we have to give together and make sure that everybody has what they need? That's a great question, right? That cannot happen until we see 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit. So we already talk about the fact that we got a question.
Yes.
We cannot just believe, but try the spirits. That's what we're doing today. You understand? We're trying the spirits that are before us. The caller made a very good point whereby we have all churches, we have all these bishops, we have all these deacons, we have all these pastors, but people are not being served. People are not being fulfilled. They're not being fed. They're not being visited. They're not actually being taught scripture in a way that the Messiah would have it taught. The message of the Messiah to the world is not being taught, right? We talk more about Paul than we talk about the Messiah. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We started the show talking about false prophets. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. How will you know if your pastor, if your church leader, or whomever is of the spirit of God? It says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus, who we know as Yahshua Christ, is come in the flesh is of God. So the minute you start running away from flesh, the minute you don't want to acknowledge that Jesus was a black man, as referenced in the book of Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, where it talks about he had skin like burnt brass, he had hair like lamb's wool, he had a raspy voice, he had red eyes. The minute you run away from that, right, in verse 3, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ or Yahshua Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Many of us are walking in a spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. So when you have doctrines that literally go against what the Messiah was teaching, then there's no way we could come together, put whatever we have, and make everybody whole. Because we're walking in two spirits. One is the spirit of the Christ or Christ, and the other is the spirit of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And Brother Paul, I know you're going to respond to that, but we got a break here on the show. Remark with Garth Roseborough. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. My guest today is Brother Paul Miller, and we're talking about pastorship, shepherdship, all right? Church, we're talking about the things that we feel is necessary for us to stir up the spirit of the Most High in these churches today here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Keep it locked. We'll be back right after this.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And we're back on the show, Remark with Garth Roseborough. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sarah. Sitting here today with Brother Paul Miller, and we're talking about, you know, the reality of what pastors have become in our communities, in our nation today. Before we continue the show, I just want to give a big shout out to our listeners all around the world. We got people listening in from Ghana. We have people listening from Liberia, the United States, and throughout the Caribbean. I'm getting messages as the show goes on, so I want to give a big shout-out to everyone who is listening, and thank you all for being a part of today's show, even if you're just listening. The telephone lines today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and, of course, 242-350-20. That's toll-free from the Family of Islands. Our text line today is 422-4796. That's standard tax rates applied, powered by BTC. So, Brother Paul, I ended in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, and talking about there's a spirit of the Christ or Christ, and there's a spirit of Antichrist. And what's unfortunate is that both of these spirits seem to be running through our churches today. What say you?
You know, a whole lot was said. You know, I go right back to that chapter you read from Jeremiah 23.
Yes, sir. Let me go back.
Where Christ said in Jeremiah 23, for this so-called oppression that we find ourselves, you know, this so-called taking advantage of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. See, a lot of pastors believe they think the pasture is theirs.
Yes, my
no,
Lord.
No. God ain't made us. He didn't make us owners. He made us overseers.
Ah, stewards.
We missed that.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
He said, you have scattered my flock. You have not visited them. And as a result, I'm going to raise up ministers of the gospel to bring them back unto myself.
Yes.
You know?
The shepherds.
Yes. And then in Ezekiel, Christ said, warn to the pastors to put no difference in the holy and the profane.
Mm.
Right? That's Ezekiel chapter 22.
Ezekiel 22.
And then in Deuteronomy 15:6, he said, When my people be in one accord to me, they be lenders and not borrowers.
My Lord.
And the reason why many ministers can't lend is because they live above their means.
Yeah.
Like I told you last time I stopped by this way, one of my minister friends have a car for $137,000. What?
Wow. That's heavy.
What? I mean, what's going on with you, my brother? That ain't going on with me.
I mean, if he could afford it now, if he can't afford it.
He can't afford that. Because the people in his membership hurt him.
Wow.
Come on, your car value more than their house.
Wow.
The house leaning to the side. Your car driving straight up. No. Remember one time Jesus wanted to go for a drive?
Mm.
Did he go to the local dealership?
Where he going?
He borrowed someone's car. You know what I mean? Yeah. He said, okay, go tell them the master needed that car over there. That donkey, I need that.
Yeah.
And the person send it.
Yeah.
One time he had a bill to pay. Did he go to Nova Scotia Bank or Royal Bank?
What did he do?
He sent the disciples to look in the fish mouth.
My Lord.
Come on.
Yes.
If ministers of the gospel would just follow the scriptures, man, Nassau could be the starting point of many nations around the world.
See, and you bring a very good point. We are borrowers in this country, right? Anytime a government wins or a political party wins the government, this is right, the seat of the government, one of the first things I observe them doing is borrowing. They got to go to be in all this debt.
Now, you might have missed this point.
Mm.
Lincoln Bain is on the record saying on Clint Watson's show that if he wins the government, he going to borrow some money. Let's back up, Mr. Lincoln. What you just say?
Wow.
Did you not say that if you have a recognized value? What you talk about?
Right.
So how boring get your tongue, soldier?
Right.
Please pray tell me. I'm a little bit slow. You know what I mean?
But see, that's the system. That's the system that we have cultivated. See, the message of the Messiah to the world, when he got those disciples, right, and he said, okay, y'all, let's become fishers of men.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Messiah was a revolutionary insofar as he went against the grain. Because for someone to come and tell me right now, stop working at what you normally do and come go walk with me, wow.
And straightway.
Straightway.
The Bible says straightway.
Straightway.
They fall this mountain and no other.
Straightway.
All right then.
You understand what I'm saying? That's a serious movement. But Brother Paul, our nation, we like the Pharisees. We like to talk a good talk. But we're not willing to actually do this scriptural work, this scriptural study, to begin to understand. I ain't telling nobody quit your job tomorrow. I ain't what I'm saying. I'm saying there's more to what we have been given from our pastors. Our pastors have to do better at getting and discerning these scriptures so that people, see, my pastor, the Rev. Dr. A.J. Vamo, when we talk about seeding, right? Of course, we give tithes. We donate where we need to donate. Just like what you was talking about in terms of people giving and making sure everybody have. That's what we aim to do in our church or in our Kanisa, right? But we also understand that if you truly are seeding, you should actually have some real seeds. We should be planting some trees that actually could produce food, that could actually feed your congregation, that could actually create the farmers markets and the food stores. Churches should be in the position or in the business of starting businesses that you could actually tell your congregation, guess what? You don't have to go to work on Saturday for this business here because we can take Saturday off. We have a business in this church where we could choose when we want to take our Sabbath, and we don't have to work when someone is telling us to work. If that's what we choose to do, because we control in the businesses, because we are making sure that our members can work. And this doesn't happen overnight. But I'm putting it on the table because you gave an example of a particular pastor who took 100+ thousand and put it into a car when it could have gone into a business. And I ain't getting into that pastor business. I ain't talking about that pastor. Mm-hmm. I'm principally speaking about how we now, as leaders of the church, right, how we're going to be held accountable if we don't actually recognize the point that you made. It's the Most High pastor, posture. Mm-hmm. It's not our posture.
No. We just overseers. We just stewards. We just take care of his leading.
Yes.
Not our leading.
Yes.
We're not moving on emotion or them. No, we follow the scriptures.
Yes.
And once you check this out, the Bible says, if you put a faithful tithe and offering, God will open the door. Does he say open the door? He's saying open the windows and pour you the blessing.
Yes, yes.
But now, do you want to be faithful with that?
Yeah, that's the question.
See, you give it, and then God give the increase.
Mm.
You know what I mean? He made up the tithing system.
Right.
You go to, it ain't no such thing as pastor's appreciation day. What?
Yeah.
Appreciate you for what?
Yeah.
You visit me, pastor? In fact, at our ministry, we don't charge for nothing.
You coming right now, caller.
We don't charge for funerals. We don't charge for weddings.
Wow.
We don't charge for baby dedication. All those things are free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Our ministry is built on the prophecy where the Lord gave Moses, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
When they were trying to build the temple, Lord said, Moses, go to the people, Moses.
Mm.
And they bring so much stuff to build the temple. Moses said, I got enough.
Yeah.
I don't need no more.
Right.
Now, how much ministry you know a temple say that?
Wow.
You're only trying to raise 50,000. And once you're someone bring 150,000.
Right. And guess what? There may be pastors out there who are like that because everybody don't broadcast their business. So we don't want to acknowledge or say that there aren't pastors doing it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There could be very much could be pastors doing it. And for those pastors who are doing it, most I bless you. You know,
amen.
We got a caller here on Guardian Radio 96.9. The show is Remark. Caller, you're on Remark. Caller going once.
Hello.
We can hear you, but you're breaking up a little bit.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Go ahead. How are you doing today?
How you doing? Good evening to you and your guests.
Yes.
Question. Two questions. What church Jesus was a member of? And why is it important for pastors and their family to put their pictures in front of the church, if it is a temple, if it's God's temple?
Yeah.
Well, I'll hang up and listen.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Jesus or the Messiah, Yahshua Kares, was a Nazarite. He was a part of a community. They refer to this community today as one of them anyway, as a community of Qumran. This is where the Dead Sea Scrolls, some of the Dead Sea Scrolls would have been found. But he was a part of a community, and that community lived by the principles that Brother Paul is talking about today, whereby they lived for, of, and by each other. They lived after the principles of one called Asaru, who was the original crucified Savior. This is the African perspective. Brother Paul, he has a different perspective, but I know we're going to reconcile as we continue to do these shows, right? But there's a first crucified Savior that's mentioned in the book of Revelations, chapter 11, verse 8 and 13, verse 8. One who would have been crucified in Africa, or what they call Egypt today. And so when you go into the New Testament of what is being referred to as the Bible today, Jesus said, upon this rock, Peter, this disciple of his, this is where I would build my church. This is what the Greco-Roman interpretation of it is. Brother Paul, what say you?
The thing about it is, I like the question.
Mm-hmm.
In First Peter.
And then we can get to this question after this, caller.
Peter said, even hereunto, you call it Christ also suffered. Don't miss that word. He suffered for himself? No, he suffered for us.
Yeah.
Leaving us an example, we should walk as he walked.
Yeah.
Who did not sin, it was God found in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus did a whole bunch of stuff. You could spend a whole lifetime until he come on, until he save you in being alive, what he did. And one of the first things he did, he dealt with the people on their level.
Yeah.
He didn't try to rise above them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he went to church on Saturday, according to Luke chapter 4, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you know, he went to church on no other day. That was the Saturday, that's the Sabbath, he went to church in Luke 4, 16.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples also followed the same thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important for us to follow Jesus through the scriptures.
Right.
He is our example. Not me and the pastor here. Jesus is your example. So if you follow Jesus, you're on good footing. And he went about his Father's business. In fact, Jesus Christ said, none of these things I do of myself. I do all these things of my Heavenly Father. So I encourage all these to check up on Jesus. Study the scriptures for yourself, brothers and sisters. Please study, study, study. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio and study your Bible. And ask God a question, and I assure you, my friend, if you're sincere, he'll give you an answer.
So, Brother Paul, the caller asks why, and I understand why they asked the question. Why is it necessary for some churches, especially if they're led by a husband and wife, to put their picture in front of the church or on the church sign? What say you?
I don't know why ministers of the gospel do that. You know, I don't know if it's a sin, but I try to figure, why do they do it? You know what I mean? For which reason you're doing thus and thus? You know what I mean? And notwithstanding, see, when you put your picture in the public domain as a minister of the gospel, that means someone should be able to walk up to you and get a loaf of bread, at least.
My Lord.
That's your picture I saw on the billboard, Pastor. Can you help me, please? Just one or $2 to buy one bread. I have two ready. I just need two more to make up. And most times, those pastors tell them no.
Mm.
Because they don't know them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Did you come to my ministry? No, it's not about if they come into your ministry, because all of our ministries should be working together on one accord. We should all be speaking the same thing. There should be no division among us. You know what I mean? And people are hurting because ministers of the gospel set themselves on a plateau that is not heaven sent.
Yeah.
Get down the muck and mire, man. Give it to people.
Yeah.
Mingle with the people. Be touchable, man. Be able to. They should be able to come to your house and you should be able to go to theirs.
Yeah. What I will say, caller, is that number one, it's a great question. I think you should ask one of these churches who have pictures of I know churches, I know pastors who have their picture with their wife, you know, up on the church or when they service, you see them and their wife. I think that's a great question to ask them. I can't answer the question for them. The Bible does speak about humility, but ultimately, for me, as a pastor of the Holy Coptic Church, our message is about making sure that the message of the Messiah to the world, this message that the Messiah had for the world, that stands out front.
Mm-hmm.
Even before me, when we have this black Messiah on this ankh, this cruciform, that is what is up in the front of our church. The seal of the Nazarite is at the front of our church because that is ultimately who we come in the name of, the name of the Most High Heavenly One, and Nere, the Great I Am. And these Nazarites were responsible for aiding the Most High. We are aiding the Most High in this work.
I want to say something on the picture thing. Have you ever noticed the picture with Jesus?
Mm.
He's white. Well, according to the scriptures, they never say he was white. In fact, according to, and this white Jesus is always handsome.
And they say he wasn't handsome.
Oh, right. That's where I'm going, right? Listen, that's why Christ said, be careful with these images, these graven images, let them alone.
And they do make a reference in Revelation chapter 13 to the image of a beast. The image of a beast. And they talk about this beast with seven heads and ten horns. I know you all going, you go into that a lot, Brother Paul. You know, that teaching is something I know you touch on quite often.
But that beast represents a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Those seven heads represent seven mountains on which the papal system sits.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And those represent different kings. You know, there were 10 nations that break off from the prophecy of Daniel, the toes.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those nations are not in existence today.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible plucked up by the root. That's the Hurles, the Vandas, and the Ostrogoths. And I may be pronouncing those names wrong, but in the pronunciation, but the Hurles, the Vandas, and
the
Ostrogoths.
The Hurles,
the Vandas, and
the
Ostrogoths.
The Vandals and the...
I call them the Ostrogoths.
Ostrogoth. Okay. I'm just saying it slow in case somebody is typing in and want to research it.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying by that is if you go anywhere around the world, you won't find no one from those tribes in existence today.
Okay.
And history tells you the papal system took them off the planet.
Okay.
Wherever you go around the world, you most likely find a Bahamian, an African, a Chinese. But none of those from those tribes are in existence today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Bible says those nations are going to try to come together,
but
they will not cleave together. Even this very day, the seven remaining nations, like England and London and some of the European nations, the best way to put that, are trying to come together, but the Bible says it will not happen.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even the Bible tells in the ruin of Babylon, Babylon will never be rebuilt. Now, the last person on the record trying to rebuild Babylon was Saddam Hussein in America to take him out. Because it will not be rebuilt.
What about the new Babylon, though?
Which new Babylon is this? Oh, you mean from the Bible?
Yeah.
But the Babylon in the Bible is confusion.
Mm-hmm.
False religion and false teachings.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Babylon that the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation.
And I want you to continue. I just want to stick a voice in here.
I think it's Revelation 13. You'll find the Babylon has fallen. You find it in Revelation 14, that Babylon has fallen not once but twice. That false doctrines and false teachings are being exposed to what they really are.
Right.
And here's the truth that Christ wants us walking. In Isaiah 20, there's a solid principle that through the law and through the testimony, if they speak not according to these two principles, there's no light in them. The testimony points out sin, shows the danger of sin, and shows how we can get the victory over sin. And the law is the Ten Commandments. It only points out sin. It doesn't give us victory over sin. Victory over sin only comes
And you say that was what again? Which verse?
As Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20.
Chapter 8,
chapter 8, verse 20
okay.
by Isaiah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then the first John 3, 4, John said, hereby we do know that we know Jesus Christ. If we keep his commandments.
Wow.
And then it says, I know Jesus. I know a man.
Yeah.
And keeping not his commandments is a lie, and the truth is not in him.
Yes.
So a lot of people, I know Jesus, man. Let me test you.
But then we ain't keeping the Sabbath. We ain't following Passover. We ain't doing none of the things that Jesus or the Messiah, Yeshua Christ, did. But then we claiming Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah. Something wrong with that.
In fact, they lip service. Christ said, this people drawing nigh unto me with their mouth.
Yes.
Only with their lips, but their heart is far
from me. That's right.
And then in that same chapter, he said, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.
Yes, yes.
That's powerful. You mean I've been in church all these years?
Yes.
All Sunday school, Sabbath school?
Yes.
You mean, you know,
we just talked about that today in church,
I never
Matthew
knew
15.
Who you mean, Jesus?
Yes, yes.
Depart from me. Yeah. And then you got two categories of people, one saved and one lost. Watch this. The ones who taught us working for Christ, but Lord, I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And Christ, you're done? Who's been waking for me? I never knew you.
I never knew you. Matthew 7.
And then the ones who go to heaven.
21 and 23.
Uh-huh. Then the ones who go to heaven, the Lord saying, how I get you? When you did this, and you did this, you did. When I did that, Christ. And he asked, when you did it to at least one of these, you did it unto me.
To me, right.
So those who brag about what they do can be lost.
Mm-hmm.
And those who realize they're working for Christ can be saved.
Right. But let me tell you, let me show you, and I appreciate those verses, and I pray the people watching have an opportunity to look these verses up and study them, because we're going kind of quick because we only have so much time. But this show is being recorded, and you will be able to listen back to it and go through these verses, right? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, and I think there's a big problem we have amongst our communities today, right? In Revelation 3:14, it talks about the Amen. This is the Black Messiah that people don't want to recognize today. This is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So there was the Amen was before this concept of God that we have today in today's world, right? In verse 15, though, it says of Revelation chapter 3, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I I would that thou wert cold or hot. So what is this scripture saying? We playing, so many people playing the line.
Mm-hmm.
So many people ain't cold or hot. Scripture saying, I wish you would just either choose to be cold or hot. Mm-hmm. At least take a stand.
Yeah. Don't play church.
Don't play church.
Don't say you're a Christian and you're not.
Right.
Because Christ said, you should be my witnesses.
Yes.
And when you go to court, you have to be a true witness. You swear to tell the truth, number of truth to help you God,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Like the Christian journey. Christ, mm-hmm. Why are you saying you're a Christian and you carry on like a devil?
Mm.
Why are you saying you're a Christian and you want to treat my people as thus?
Yes.
You are no Christian.
Yes.
And your neighbor, they call them Christmas.
Yeah.
But they're not Christian. They're Christmas. What you say, sir? They're yes. Christmas, Mr. Miller.
Yes.
You know, so let's be serious, brothers and sisters. People are watching. In fact, the apostle Paul's real letter. Being known and read of all men.
Right.
That word epistle means letter. Yeah. So when men see you and they see you operating, are you operating along the Christian pathway?
Right.
Can they follow you into the kingdom like the apostles? They follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
Can I trust my son to follow you into the kingdom? Can I trust my daughter to follow you into the kingdom? And the answer only can be yes if you follow in the scriptures.
Right.
As you follow Christ, my children can follow you into the kingdom of God.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing for pastors today is, are we prepared to have the conversations that the Bible talks about? When the Messiah was talking to his disciples, he said some of them say it was hard for them to hear. All right, and the spirit of the Messiah, this caress consciousness that is mentioned in the book of Matthew 24, where it talks about the lightning shining from the east unto the west. This consciousness that's upon us now. Because in Holy Coptic Church, we're not waiting for some black man to come out of the sky and save us. I just want to put that on the record right now. We're talking about a consciousness, a caress consciousness, this head spirit, the ka, the divine African spirit, right? And the rest, or ras, like the Rasta say, Rastafari, the head creator.
Mm-hmm.
This head spirit is amongst us. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, they talk about the mind of Christ, right? But in the book of John chapter 6, all right, I just want to make a point and just put something out here to the, because many of us, we preaching just to keep the collection plate full.
Amen. Sadly, it is.
You understand? John chapter, I'm just trying to make sure I have the right verse here, because he was teaching, and after he taught what he taught, I think it's in John chapter 6. I'll find it. But
in fact, in that same chapter you're talking about, it's the same one that comes to my mind. And when they walk away, Christ said, you're going to go too?
Yes.
And then Peter said, to whom should we go, Lord?
Yes.
And left 12 of the brothers standing in the midst of the elders. And the most sobering part of that, Christ didn't go looking for them.
No.
That's sobering, you know?
Right.
You know, there's another sobering scripture that really hits me sometimes hard. Christ say, I want you to go door to door.
Mm.
And when you go door to door, if they bid you, you tarry a while. If they don't bid you, just that's off and on. And I said, God, you mean, was there no more hope for that house? You mean salvation only came once?
That's something.
Jesus, Lord of mercy. And I think about it all the time. I say, Jesus, Lord of mercy. You mean, because nowhere in the scripture they went back.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
And another thing that hits me is that Satan caused a big stir in heaven.
Yes.
And for 4,000 years, according to the scriptures, heaven stood still on Satan's conniving and conniving. And 4,000 years later, Jesus showed up.
Mm.
All the prophets from Genesis to Malachi preached it, believed it, and died that Christ would come.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up in Matthew.
Mm.
They believed it, they preached it, they lived it, and they died.
Yeah.
And heaven stood still on Satan's nastiness for 4,000 years.
Mm.
Do you think those angels in heaven had question marks?
That's a good question.
Did we side with the right crew?
Because
Satan and his boys, they carrying on, man. We still in heaven with the Father and the Son.
But you know, when Satan was cast out in Revelation 12:9, the world was warned, you know, that this Satan was going to deceive everybody. And I always say that. I say, not just the people in the club, not just the people who you think are sinners. People in the church was deceived too. Yeah. You understand? I found it in John chapter 6, verse 60, right? It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? right? I'm not focusing on what he said at this point. I'm just saying the pastors, how many of us can go into scripture and teach what the Bible is saying, even though you may lose your congregation?
I want to make a point of that, man. Let me finish. I think you have a call.
Yeah, let's get to this call, and then you can jump on that, LaPaul. You're on the show, Remark caller.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to both of you.
Yes, indeed.
Help me with the lining up off the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They have people that are called pastors.
Mm-hmm.
What is the... Just a prenup. You don't have to get deep into it.
Right.
What is the office of a pastor? What is the job of a pastor?
A pastor.
I'll ask my questions, then you hang up.
Okay,
beautiful. You answer.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's one. The two, the bishop.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible say the bishop is a man of one wife.
Mm-hmm.
But you have women calling themselves bishop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's contradict. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the job of a deacon. Isn't the deacon the manager of the church?
Mm-hmm.
Then they have some people apostles, elders. Them different names.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to just go into it briefly for me if you can. Just give me the listing or the office of those names. Please, I'll listen because it's kind of confusing to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Beautiful, beautiful questions.
Yeah. Good. I'm going to listen, though.
Thank you so much for calling
in. Yes, sir.
I'm going to let Brother Paul, when you jump on that phrase, and then I got something I want to share.
I'm trying to find a scripture now. I want to read into the record based on those things.
You mean 1 Timothy 3?
Ephesians 4. I'm going to Ephesians chapter 4. I think we can pick it up from verse 11.
Okay.
Because that's a very powerful question that the caller just made.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give the answer from Ephesians chapter 4, picking the conversation from verse number 11.
Ephesians 4, verse 11. Go ahead.
Pick it from verse 11. And he gave, talking about Jesus, and he gave some apostles,
mm-hmm.
and some prophets, and some evangelists,
mm-hmm.
and some pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went on to say, after pastors, he said, and teachers for the perfection of the saints.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And who are the saints? Revelation 14:12 said, the saints are those who keep the commandments of God, not the faith of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the job of the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on to say, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, have we all come into the unity of the faith, mm-hmm. not faiths.
Of the faith.
Of the
one
faith.
One faith. Mm-hmm.
One Lord. One faith, one baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And it continued by saying, of the faith,
mm-hmm.
unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ, that henceforth, be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, mm-hmm. by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking the truth in love, many growing up in all things, which is the head, even Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the job of the pastor. To bring us together as one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm longing for a conclave in the Bahamas. That's the journey side of the Bahamas.
That must be what we got to do.
Come together as one and turn Nassau upside down.
My Lord. I was like, turn the tables over. Yeah. Like, Jesus, turn it over the temple.
What's going on in the Bahamas that, like lightning over there? I mean, everyone living so happy and everyone living so sweet.
Yeah.
Why can't it happen?
Yeah.
Because we're living an abundance of selfish lives.
Yeah.
Only checking for ourselves.
Mm.
The last time I checked my Bible, my Bible was love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
As you love yourself. You're born with self-love. You don't have to learn that.
Mm.
So Christ said, let's flip the equation. Can I test you? You say, you're walking with me?
Mm-hmm.
I want to flip the equation. Are you going to sell your car?
Mm.
So mama could say goodbye to three cars instead of one.
You want me to sell my car? What you talking about?
I know this one for $100,000.
What?
We could buy like six notes.
Yeah.
Or six or whatever small Japanese car. You know what I mean?
He could have a unit and he could get the rest.
Yeah. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let us sell this. Two-story house.
Boy, that's a hard hearing. That's a hard saying.
One bathroom or two and a half bar. Let's sell that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Watch this now. Okay. You're the pastor, right? Let's say before the children broke off, it was you, your wife, and the four children.
Mm.
Now they're done gone. It's only you now, the wife, in the big house, four bedroom, two and a half bar. What y'all need that for?
Mm.
Let's chop that down and sell that, man.
And we need it for the grandchildren.
No. We can
grandchildren come in.
We can sell it and get three or four other houses for the grandchildren.
Okay, on the show, Remark. Listen, we going through scripture today. It's a beautiful conversation. I see one text coming through. I do want to also respond to, I mean, I'll finish with answering your question, caller. But we got to run to a break here on the show, Remark with Garth Roseborough. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III here with Paul Miller. We'll be back right after this.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
And we're back here on the show, Remark with Garth Roseborough. Garth is not in studio today. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahunan Kusara, in with my guest, Brother Paul Miller. And we're talking about the reality of pastorship or just leading the church in general here in our country. And there's a lot to be said about it. A caller recently called in to ask about the difference between a pastor versus a bishop versus an apostle, etc. And Brother Paul Miller gave a very beautiful verse. That was
Ephesians 4.
Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11, for those people who want to look at it. I want to throw another perspective in there. And I think this is why we have a lot of confusion in the church today. When the caller made the mention of their a deacon, let me just go to 1 Timothy 3 and 8. It talks about a deacon. I'll just read from verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy, of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. This is what the caller made reference to, ruling their children and their own houses well. Then he made the point that in some churches, there are women who are leading in these churches, who may be deacons, who may be pastors. The reality from the perspective of the Holy Coptic Church is number one. You have parallel doctrines in the scripture here. What this is talking about the Greco-Roman churches. If you're following the script or if you are abiding by the laws, the rules of the Greco-Roman churches, then this is what you should be following. Women shouldn't be standing up in these churches because this is what these churches ultimately say about their leadership. However, there were churches, there was a Christianity before Europe's Christ. There's a Christianity before Europe's Christ. There were African churches where our women did stand up and did rule amongst us based on the fact that the book of Genesis chapter 1 verses 26 and 27, male and female created he them. The man and the woman was being made at this very same time. Man wasn't put above woman. Did we have houses? Yes, we did. Yes, we did have, we had gender-specific roles. But because we have a church cult of Caesar, or because we have the Greco-Roman church, along with the original African church, both being taught about, if you go into the languages, in this one scripture, the confusion comes about. So I always tell women who complain about being oppressed in their churches, I say, what type of church are you going to? If you go into a church that was established by the Greco-Romans, then sit small, like they ask you to do. If you want to find your place in the pulpit or in leadership or as a child of the Most High, because we have a text that is calling and asking, and I'm going to get to the text in a second, whereby the men and the women both, as it talks about in the book of Numbers, a man or a woman, take the vow of a Nazarite. If you're going to go following the ways of the Nazarite, then you as a woman can stand up and take that vow, and you can teach the way the women are taught to teach amongst the Nazarites. So that's the confusion caller. And we can't get into all of it today, but I just wanted to put that on the table. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
I just want to say right quick, there's nowhere in the scriptures give a woman the right to be ordained as a minister of the gospel. Yeah, she could teach and she could preach. In fact, she could teach the aged women. The aged women should teach the young ladies of the church. Yes. I love their husband. We just did a study on that on yesterday.
Yeah.
But as long as, without being the, you got the woman's the senior pastor of the church, how could that be?
Mm-hmm.
You got a bunch of men, and you use the senior pastor based on what scripture, my dear, you use them.
Right.
Help me. I'm a little bit slow.
See, and I'm so glad you said it that way, because if you're only reading scripture from this perspective, like you say, Brother Paul, I'm 100% agreement with you. I'm in 100% agreement with you, because that ain't in there.
No, it's not in there.
It's not in there. Mm-hmm. But when we go back and we look at the original books of the Bible, when we go back and look at scripture from an African perspective, that's where we do see it, right? The texter texting and says, good evening. Question, are we sons of God created to do good works, or so why we call ourselves Christian? So in the book of Psalms 82, all right, Psalms 82 helps to answer this question. And then we can go to the book of Genesis chapter 6. And then Brother Paul, you can add whatever verses you want to add in. But Psalm 82, it says, God standeth, this is verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judges among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy. This is what you're talking about, Brother Paul. Mm-hmm. Deliver the poor and the needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Then this is, addresses your, the text's question. I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So there's two things going on here. We were created in the image and after the likeness of God, which makes us gods, but not the Most High. We are gods, but we are children of the Most High. This is what Jesus or Yahshua was saying to those who spoke to him in the book of John chapter 30, John chapter 10, verse 32, where he said, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods, right? The reality of the situation is we are children of the Most High. Now, why we're being called Christian today, that word itself was a word that was used first in Antioch, Acts 11:26, right? Originally, however, we were Nazarites. We were those who were of the way. Right? Brother Paul, go ahead. I know you want to add to this.
No, I was going to use the same. Acts 11, mm-hmm. where the disciples first called Christian. All the word Christian means that you're a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get mixed up on these different words and stuff like that. For mm-hmm. example, I was on a show with that guy called me a fanatic. I said, yes, I'm a fanatic. I said, well, let me explain my fanaticism. My fanaticism is that if you kill my wife, I can still love you, brother.
Wow.
If you kill my daughter, I can still love you. I said, I can only do it if I walk in the spirit.
That's a hard thing to
hear.
That's
a natural thing to do.
Yeah.
If I'm a fanatic like you think, wow. I'm only killing you, I'm killing your mommy, I'm killing your dog, I'm killing everybody.
Right. Right. I said, well, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I believe in the sacrifice. Like that,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I said, when Christ comes in, the fanaticism switch.
Mm.
I can't wipe you out like how I would want to do naturally.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's the fanaticism I can. And I only can the fanaticism because I'm rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But we got to get back to the word.
Yeah.
The word.
Yeah.
I think one of some of the best horror stories you could read, some of the best novels you could read, is in the scriptures.
That's true.
Sometimes I just laugh when I say, if you try to trick Jesus in the scriptures, I put myself there. Mm. Isn't the guy trying to trick Jesus, eh?
Yeah.
You know, I just busted laughing to myself.
Yeah, the Pharisees did a lot, yes.
You know what I mean? So you got to put yourself in, you got to put yourself for God so love you. Put your name there, take it personal.
Mm.
You got to put yourself in the midst of all these things happening in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And watch this, David killed Bathsheba. Husband to get killed.
Yeah, Uriah, yes.
Had sex with the woman. Do all those things. Mm-hmm. And then Christ said, this a man after my own heart. What?
Yeah.
So he's showing you, don't care how far depth you fall, he got you. Once you repent like David did.
Right.
Look where the man you are.
Yeah.
You know the right spirit within me. Yeah. Take the Holy Spirit away from me.
Yeah.
Because I got you, David.
Yeah.
And when you stop by this way, he say, David is a man after my own heart.
Mm.
So I just stop by letting you know, my friend, no matter how far you have fallen in the gutter, Christ will take you from there.
Mm.
That only he can put you.
Yes.
And don't mind what they say about you in your past life.
Because
only devils go deep sea swimming for your stuff. Because Christ, once you confess, he's right in the depth of the sea. Last time I checked, they said they can't find the depths of the sea.
Right.
So this devil get down there, bring it to your past life.
Right.
And God will forgive you.
Right.
And wipe your slate clean.
Yes.
And renounce you brand new in Christ Jesus. Oh, man. It's
Brother
fun.
Paul, I have definitely appreciated today's show. I want people to understand that these type of shows are really designed to... Number one, you know, I often hear people say, there's two things you don't talk about, religion and politics. Mm-hmm. I disagree. I think the more we talk about religion, the more we share with each other. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Brother Paul and I don't agree on everything, but we're not arguing about that. We're focusing on what we do agree on. I'm going to say what I have to say. He's going to say what he has to say. And you, the listener, you get to discern, all right? You get to actually take the time to study. To show yourself approved. What you want to say, Brother Paul?
What I wanted to say based on what you said, before I know the love of Christ, mm-hmm. I mean, you'd been around right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're going to hell, man.
Yeah.
But when I realized the depth and the love of Jesus,
yeah,
I got to treat my brother different.
Yeah.
We're on a journey.
Yeah.
Christ brought us together. He saw this long before we did.
That's right.
That one day you and I was going to be sitting guardian radio talking to each other.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And what are you doing? He put us on a journey that he could turn the world upside down if only by us two.
Yes.
We were the Lord, use us.
Yes.
And by him turning the world upside down, because How y'all do that? I say, man, Jesus, man, you're about Yahshua.
We ain't that good.
You're about Elohim?
Yes.
Man, he got us, man.
Yeah, we ain't that good, Brother Paul. We just follow him. Go ahead.
He can say, you think Elohim will take me?
Wow.
Say, yeah, man. Say, man, I used to do, I don't know what you used to do. Elohim got, when is my, you would ask that question, Elohim got you.
Yes.
Because it ain't natural you ask that question.
Yes.
Because the Holy Spirit draws you. You can't draw yourself.
Mm.
Christ, you can't come and say, draw you.
Mm.
So the moment you ask that question, God got you, man.
Yeah.
Because if he ain't had you, if he was in the background waking to bring you to this moment of asking a question,
yes,
you might have been dead.
And so what I pray the pastors who may be listening, what I pray that pastors get out of today's show. We can be back on again. We can touch some tough topics that the church may not want to touch. I know one of the things I want to talk about is this reality of who God is. Because everybody don't see God the same way, you know, and it sounds blasphemous to even say these things, but if we're going to get to the root of people's confusion, we got to ask these questions, right? But I pray that today's show has been edifying for those who have listened. I know I learn from Brother Paul. Every time I'm on a show with him, I learn something new from him. And I pray that he learned something from me and from our respective churches. I pray that you, the listeners, learn. I want to give thanks to the host of the show, Brother God Roseborough, for giving us the opportunity to be on Remark. And we want to make sure that you stay locked here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. There's a wonderful show. I always just forget the name of the show. This is Let's Talk, right? Let's Talk is the name of the show coming up next. Let's Talk, all right? So if you have an opportunity to stick with Guardian Radio, please, please listen to some great Haitian culture, music, and talking. Learn something about your neighbor. All right. This has been the show Remark. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III. My guest today was Brother Paul Miller. We want to say thank you for listening. And I want to say namaste. I bow to the divinity in you all. Brother Paul, what say you?
Amen. Good night, everybody. And good evening. Good morning. Good night. Blessings. And once again, thanks for having me. Blessings.
Bless.